friends, call us Indy 101.5. Live from Hamilton.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Happy Tuesday. I am Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, as always. And thank you for tuning in. Tonight, I'm hanging out with Melotica. She's a retro electro-pop singer-songwriter based in Toronto. You can find Melotica online under either Melotica or Melotica Music, and on all streaming services under Melotica. So, hey there.
Hey, Sarah.
Thanks so much for joining me tonight. This is going to be fun.
It was super exciting. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. And just to kind of start everything off and introduce you to everybody, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
I would describe my style as nostalgic, new, retro pop meets new school electro pop.
Cool. And who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
My biggest musical influences, oh my God, they vary so much. I would say right now, I've been seriously, you know, back to the old school stuff with Madonna, heavily inspired by Madonna. And I've gotten into Britney Spears again lately.
Cool.
I'm very inspired by our local Canadian indie rock band, Metric.
Mm-hmm. Right, for sure. And what do you feel as though you take from those influences, like their sound style, their production, their stage presence? What would you say?
I think a little bit of everything, actually, especially just in terms of each of these artists I described, they have their own unique sound. Like, you know, as soon as you hear their music on the radio or like, you know, on Spotify, or if it pops up on a playlist, you know right away, like, that's Britney or that's Madonna. And especially the singer Emily Haynes from Metric, like, you know, that's her. She's got her own signature sound. They all got their own unique style of singing, which has been super inspirational for me.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And do you remember what you listened to as a kid, what was played around your house as a child? And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Absolutely. I grew up in a household that music was really important. My father is actually a drummer, and I grew up listening to a lot of the things he used to listen to, like bands like Boston, Styx, Van Halen, and then my mother as well. She had such a diverse, you know, range of like listening music. We went from Depeche Mode to Michael Jackson to Blondie. So growing up, definitely listening to music from the 70s and 80s shaped my sound as well.
Totally. And what was the first time that you listened to a piece of music and thought, wow, I wish I made that?
I was really young, actually. So right off the top of my head, I'm thinking of that song, I Love Rock and Roll, from Joan Jett.
Nice.
It's like, it's such a classic, but I remember being literally the age of 3 or 4 and hearing that song, and I just wanted to be whoever sang that song.
Right.
And it was my anthem as a kid.
Sweet. I love that. Do you feel as though you were like a little rocker girl?
I definitely was a combination of being a little dancing queen and a rocker girl. I, even in high school, grew up listening to a lot of alternative rock, heavy metal, and grunge music.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always stick to my guilty pleasures of listening to dance pop. I would still listen to the Spice Girls, Britney Spears, Madonna, Christina Aguilera, Gwen Stefani, and then Lady Gaga was huge for me in high school.
And how did you first get into playing music? Did you start on instrumentals, vocals, etc.?
I always just started by singing, to be quite honest. I never even thought as a kid that I would even pursue music as a career. I was sort of following, you know, the traditional path of going to school and going to college and going to university. And I was studying other pursuits at the time until I decided to drop everything and then head over to music production school. And that's where I discovered, hey, I can learn, you know, how to do production, how to produce music in this new digital world, and how to record my vocals. And then I took on singing lessons. And I just, it was just like one thing after the other. It was just, I never started off with just one instrument. I feel like my voice was always just that main instrument.
Yeah, yeah. And do you play instruments?
I tried to play bass and drums and trumpet in high school.
That's a lot.
I would say that I suck at all instruments.
No problem.
I tried a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Is there anything that you'd really like to learn?
I wish I could play like proper piano.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody does. I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that is. I certainly don't. So, and do you feel as though when you started playing music, were you confident from the get-go, and or did that take a bit to build?
It's still something actually really interesting. You're bringing this up because it's something that I'm still struggling. Stage fright.
Yeah.
I remember going way back just as a child and in high school, I was very shy, very timid, mm-hmm. and I would rarely want to sing in public. I would love to hide in the bathroom whenever I had the chance alone just to like sing or like explore my vocals, but never in front of anyone. Mm-hmm. I did singing lessons once when I was the age of 11 and did my first show, and I was too scared to return.
Yeah, yeah. And do you remember your first performance experience and what that was like for you?
It was in Toronto in 2017. There was a little venue called Club 123. I think during the pandemic, it shut down, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But that was actually my first experience on stage performing my unique music in front of people. I never even really done karaoke or open mic before that. So it was kind of just like diving straight into this, you know, very scary situation, just cold turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was that like afterwards? Did that experience, do you feel as though that built a little bit of confidence for you? Or what do you think?
It was exciting. I remember blacking out a couple of times mm-hmm. on set. But when I was looking at the footage, I was just very like impressed with how I was able just to pull it off and just continue just singing my songs and performing and moving along and dancing. And so after blacking out a couple of times, not even remembering the moment, but just watching, you know, some of my video footage, mm-hmm. I was just excited. I just wanted to just keep on doing it and just seeing like where I could take it.
Yeah. Well, good for you. And You're welcome. Did you ever go to school for music or like take music lessons?
So in 2014, I went to a program here in Montreal, and I believe they have a Toronto location as well. It's called Recording Arts Canada. It's okay. A 1-year intensive program. Here you learn sound design, the recording arts, production, Foley, and learning how to handle a show by doing more technical things like live sound.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what was the most, how do I phrase this? What was the most important lesson that you took away from that program?
For me personally, I understood that you don't really need to be an expert in music. I personally don't even think that that's a possibility, because you always just want to get better. There's no like there's no, I don't know, like in karate, there's no black belt in music.
Right.
There's always like, you know, obstacles. There's always things to work on and improve. So I learned that I just had to be myself and just go with it, because music is meant to be fun at the end of the day, and it's a form of expression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at what age did you start creating your own music?
Very young, I would say I started writing just poetry and melodies and lyrics in my little personal diary since I was the age of 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first song that you wrote by any chance?
I do.
Yeah.
It's a very embarrassing one.
But they always are.
I remember my first poem. And a fun fact, actually, so during the pandemic when I was working on some new music, I actually went and went over some lyrics I wrote back in high school, and I sort of revamped an old song that I wrote. So I recreated an old song that I wrote in high school, which is pretty cool.
Oh, nice. That's super cool. And do you think you made it? Do you think you improved it now?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I needed some work.
For
but the
sure.
concept was just so authentic.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. And when did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
That's such a good question. It was sort of just this, I always say it was this epiphany back in 2013. I did a mini sort of backpacking trip in Europe when I was in university, and it was my summer off. And just exploring different cultures and different cities in Europe, I was just sort of in my own headspace for once and sort of just got to just be myself and not influenced by, you know, your parents or teachers or friends and family in the outside world telling you what you should be doing. And so at this point, when I was in Europe, I had this epiphany that, my God, I love music. Why am I not pursuing music? I'm always, you know, singing in my room or hiding to sing, or I'm still writing lyrics and poetry. Why don't I find out how I can actually turn these into like real songs? So I dropped out of university and just went to the music production school, and that's where it all started.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when did you join your first band or like promote yourself as a solo artist? When did that begin?
It happened in 2016. It was my second year living in Toronto. And at this point, I was already starting to network with other musicians and producers in town. And I met someone who goes now by the name Jackman Jones. His name is Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
And we collaborated together. And we actually formed the Melodica Project together as an electropop duo. So at the time, we were two people involved in the Melodica Project, and we just wrote a whole album together, an experimental electropop album that is called Unaware, currently on all streaming platforms. But it all started from that point.
Cool, cool. And have I been pronouncing it wrong? I was saying Melodica. Melodica?
I love when people say Melodica, so I don't like to correct them, because I do, I talk to people all around the world and everyone has their own way of saying my name, which is super fun.
Yeah, oh, I bet. And how did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
Initially, well, my father was thrilled. My parents are separated, so my father, he was thrilled as someone who, you know, he himself, back in his earlier days, he was part of bands here in Montreal, and he's a drummer as a hobby, and he was just thrilled that, like, his daughter was going to actually go and pursue music.
Cool.
My mom, on the other hand, was very scared. She didn't want me leaving university, and I understood, you know, at the time, her concerns. You know, music, pursuing a career in music is extremely risky, and there's no real guarantee in income. So it was very difficult for my family at first, but then they came to accept it, and they were like, you know what? You've always been artistic. Music has always been your thing. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, understandable. A lot of parents feel that way, right?
Yeah.
And do you feel as though some of your style you've gained from your dad being a musician?
I think my style is a combination of both my mom and dad, actually, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you feel as though you pull from both parents?
I think the more spunky and spontaneous side of me comes a lot from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the more, I would say, reserved and theatrical side of me would come from my mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you started releasing music, what kind of reactions did you get from family and friends? Like approval, disapproval? What did they feel about your style? All that.
They loved it. I had family members that were like, wow, I didn't know that you could actually sing. And it was sort of like a backhanded compliment, but at the same time, I don't blame them because I was never like, as I mentioned, I was really shy, so I was never showcasing that I could sing.
Yeah.
So people were very surprised and shocked and happy all at the same time. It was interesting.
Yeah. So you grew up in Montreal, and now you go between Toronto and Montreal. What was the music scene like growing up in Montreal?
I mean, I was too young to be part of, I guess, the more underground and local scene, because I would have been underage. But I do remember going to so many rock shows and rock festivals. And I remember my very first show was at the Bell Center going to see Shakira.
Cool.
And then afterwards, I went to see Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears. And I went to, oh my God, tons of rock shows going from Motorhead to Megadeth to Iron Maiden to Alice in Chains. So I was pretty big into going to, I would say, the most rock shows at the time.
Cool. Would you go to those with your dad usually?
I was going with friends.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Just going with friends.
Yeah, yeah. And at what age did you come to Toronto?
I came when I was 22. So right after music production school, I just bounced on over to Toronto.
Yeah. And why did you choose Toronto?
It was the closest, I guess, bigger city. Ultimately, like, ideally, I really wanted to move to New York, but that was really dreaming really big. And I acknowledged that getting a working visa would be a little bit complicated. And, you know, like, at least if I was in Toronto, going back home to see my family doctor would be a little bit easier. So Toronto was a bit more convenient at the time. And I was also friends with someone who was living in Toronto who went to the same school as me. And we ended up becoming partners, and we've been together for 7 years now.
Oh, nice. Good for you. And how would you compare the Toronto music scene to the Montreal music scene?
I personally feel that the Toronto music scene is a little bit more diverse, and I feel like that is mainly because the city is just so big and there's just so many more people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Montreal feels it's very creative. The scene is really cool here. It feels a bit smaller, and it feels like very, I had a hard time fitting in because I don't sing in French. Mm-hmm. I'm actually partially Francophone. My mother is French Canadian, but I don't write my songs in French. So I had a hard time fitting in with my electropop genre in Montreal at the time. So I just felt like, well, why not just start fresh in a new city and see where I can take this and just explore it. The grass is always greener on the other side, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And what would you say are the main genres that are performed in Montreal and then versus Toronto?
I feel overall in Canada, the main genre has been rock and indie rock and hip hop. These have been the huge genres all over the Canadian market.
So you don't think it changes that much from Montreal to Toronto?
For my specific genre, I realized after doing this for almost 6 years that it doesn't really make a big difference because my genre is so niche that I'm actually still digging to find more people who do what I do here in Canada.
Right, right. And do you have any plans to go to New York anytime soon?
I'm really hoping that next year I would get to do some shows in the United States for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge retro pop and synth wave, synth pop scene going on in New York, and I've been connected with some artists, and it looks really fun. I would love to perform in LA sometime, just do like a little trip, you know, across USA and seeing where I can do some gigs.
That would be super cool. Have you been before?
I've been to the States, but I've never performed outside of Canada before.
Right, right. And when it comes to the Toronto and I guess also Montreal scenes, what do you think could be improved?
That's a really good question. I'm going to think about that for a bit.
Yeah, no problem.
I think accepting new genres. I think we're, as I mentioned before, I think we're really stuck in like these like top three. And I should mention folk as well. We're really just stuck on the rock and indie rock and folk and hip hop. And I feel like there's like such a huge underground dance pop scene and retro pop scene that's just waiting to explode here in Canada, but we're not getting the exposure yet.
Yeah, yeah. And who are some talented local artists, so maybe Toronto and then maybe also Montreal, if you want to plug both, that you think deserve more spotlight?
I'm going to say my partner crossed out. He works very hard. The music that he creates is alternative rap rock.
Cool.
And he is based in Toronto. And he, yes.
Yeah. Is there anyone else that comes to mind?
I'm trying so hard to think. Honestly, in my genre, I've been more connected with people from Europe and in the States.
Sure. No problem.
But I want to give a huge shout out to Jan Simon, yes, who's based in Toronto, and they do theater pop slash indie pop, and they are amazing. Such huge talent, such an amazing vocalist and performer and artist.
Oh, totally. I've had them on the show before, actually. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're super cool. And if you could collaborate with any artist, and you know, you can go big on this one, totally go for like a big pop star, who would you choose?
Oh my God, Britney Spears.
Yeah.
I have to. Yeah.
Yeah. And what would you imagine creating together?
Oh my God. Just like the most epic, you know, modern electro dance pop track ever. I do feel like our voices would really like, I don't know, not clash, but our voices are so different that it would make such an interesting piece of music. I think it would be awesome.
Sure, yeah. Well, I hope you get to do that someday.
I hope so.
Yeah. And is there anyone that you know of who aren't crazy big? You know, someone from Europe, the States, someone around here, who you would like to work with on a single?
I actually would really like to work with Jan Simon on a song.
Cool.
So speaking of, yes.
I'd love to see that. That'd be great. We're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single for Melodica. Number One is her latest release, a single about letting go of fears during a new relationship and focusing on enjoying the moment.
Extra. Oh, my number one is the only one. My oh, my oh, my oh, my number one is the only one.
For anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with the Toronto-based electropop singer-songwriter, Melodica. We just came back from playing Number One. How long did it take to write that song?
So this song actually didn't take too long. I remember it was the end of summer of 2020 when I had just been going through like months and months of writing songs during the lockdown. Mm-hmm. I had moved from Toronto to Montreal just to sort of make ends meet. It was really hard going through the pandemic in Toronto with rent and all. So we decided to just move here to Montreal for a bit. And it allowed me to just take a break and just write songs, write so much songs. And we came up with the whole EP, Dancing Without You, at the time. And both the single that you had on your blog previously, Digital Dreams, and Number One, was supposed to be on this whole album called Dancing Without You, but I decided to remove it from the album. I felt the style felt a little bit too advanced for the retro nostalgic project.
Sure.
And yeah. So we ended up reproducing the track. So writing the lyrics itself didn't take long, but the whole process of a year later reproducing the track to this whole new electronic sound that you're hearing was what took a little bit longer. So I would say this song was about a year and a half.
Yeah, totally. And how long do your songs take to write generally?
It's always different. I've literally written songs in a day before, mm-hmm. and sometimes it takes months, and sometimes it takes a year. And that's just because of focusing on other songs in between, or life happens in between and work, or just taking a break from something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's always different.
Yeah. And where do the lyrics on Number One come from? What are they about?
So they're about a time 7 years ago where I was falling for someone new. It's about the person I'm currently with today. His real name is Aaron, but he's artist crossed out. And I just wanted to just talk about how it felt falling for someone new, but knowing you've been hurt before. So you're kind of in that limbo phase, like, do I let myself fall for this person? But at the same time, I'm like, I should just do it and just kind of see what happens and just not think too much of it and just live in the moment. And I think that's something that so many people could relate to.
Yeah, definitely. And who did you produce and record that song with?
So I recorded the vocals at Phase One Studios in Toronto with my friend Sean Savage. And the production of the song is by artist Toucan, and he's based in Arizona.
Mm, cool, cool. How did you meet him?
We met online during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you two connect? I mean, it's, you know, you're from Montreal and Toronto, and he's from Arizona. Did you find that does he create music like yours?
He does create his own electronic music, and mm-hmm. I found his style of music very interesting and very well-fitting for the kind of direction I wanted to take some of my new songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just, like, I just asked him, like, hey, do you want to work on some tracks together? And it was like zero hesitation. And we got along so well remotely working together, you know, me from Montreal, him from Arizona, but it worked out really well. He was the producer of Digital Dreams as well and mm-hmm. the Tangle Hearts remix.
Amazing. Cool. And what do you hope your listeners will take away from Number One?
I hope that the song could just inspire them to just be brave and not let the past affect their future, to mm-hmm. just let go and not overthink things sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And how long did your previous single, Digital Dreams, take to write?
So that was one of the odd songs that literally took me a day or two to write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how was that writing process?
So It's actually a really funny story. I was taking a walk in the summertime, early 2020, around June. And it was like, you know, when just a little epiphany comes in, and I had just something calling, you know, ringing through my ears during my walk saying digital dreams. It just was, it's a really weird way of like explaining like how I was inspired to write this track. But this was just something that just popped up in my head, and I ran home and just started writing like words that could like make sense with this whole digital dreams concept. And then it sort of just happened.
Yeah.
And I had spoken to Toucan about doing our first song together. And when he had sent me a production idea and like a new disco style beat, I was like, this is it. We have to elaborate on this with this digital dreams theme, and this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very spontaneous. It's very funny, but very spontaneous. I think it was mainly because during the lockdown, I was so much in my head and just thinking and just being really creative. And I realized that, oh my God, this new world we're heading in, we're just always on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just wanted to make fun of our situation, make light out of a dark situation in a song. I thought it would be interesting.
Totally, yeah. And where do the lyrics come from?
They just come from personal experience, just making fun of things like TikTok and things like Instagram. Like, these are things that are a huge part of our life now. So I just wanted to be playful with this whole concept. Not so cynical, but also, like, you know, at the end of the song, it's supposed to be uplifting. Like, we have each other. So, you know, we can make this digital universe a good place if we want it to be, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you say this was also recorded and produced with Toucan?
It was recorded at Phase One Studio in Toronto, and it was produced by Toucan in Arizona.
Cool. And what message do you hope your listeners will take away from this song?
For Digital Dreams, I just want everyone to know that I understand how hard it is. You know, social media could be really intimidating. There's a lot of cyberbullying going on. There's a lot of insecurities coming out of, you know, just this whole concept of how many likes you have, how many followers you have, like, am I pretty enough? And I just want people to know that they are enough no matter what, and that this is just a tool that is available to us, and we can still just enjoy it and have fun and not think about it in such a negative way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The single that I wrote about previous to that was Tangled Hearts. How long did it take you to write that one?
Tangled Hearts was my first collaboration with another co-writer. So her name is Gori Gloriana, and she's based in Rochester, New York City. And
cool.
That song took us a couple of months to write.
Mm-hmm. How was that process, writing with somebody else?
It was really scary, I'm not going to lie, because I've just been so attached to being the only writer of my music, and I was a little bit nervous, but it ended up being such an amazing experience just to get, like, the opinions of someone else, just to get the creative mind of someone else expressing, you know, something that I really wanted, you know, to showcase to the world. And she allowed my concept to come to life. I had sent her at the time this poem called Flowers. That's actually a B-side off the EP Dancing Without You. I showed her my poem Flowers, and I wanted to write a new song in the same theme. And that's how we just sort of remotely started going back and forth. She was playing, I remember it was really fun. She was playing piano on the phone with me, and I was sort of just coming up with melodies on top of her piano playing. And it was just such a fun, creative experience.
Yeah, sounds like it. And what are those lyrics about?
So the lyrics are about a sort of unhealthy, messy relationship of two young people who still just don't want to give up on each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the song is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who did you record and produce that song with?
So the initial version, the original version, Tangled Hearts, was produced and recorded with Sean Savage in Toronto at Phase One Studios.
Cool. And how are the recording and producing processes for you usually? Do you find them difficult? Do you find them easygoing? Are there parts that you find difficult? What would you say?
For me, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Because I really get to be creative and I really get to get into the whole sound design and mixing process. For me, choosing textures and tones for songs is really fun, like selecting so what's the mood of the song? What kind of reverb are we going to do? Are we going to make this song more warm, more light? And then when we're, you know, it's sort of just like a painting. You keep adding things onto it. We switch up the synthesizers. We add this. We add some drums here. It's just the whole process is just like a canvas.
Yeah.
Waiting for the painting to be complete. That's how I picture my music.
Totally. And, what do you hope your listeners will take away from that single?
From Tangled Hearts, I want my listeners to know that everyone goes through, you know, messy relationships. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just important to just, it's sort of similar to the concept of number one. It's sort of just lay back and just not overthink, you know, from the past when you've been hurt before. And to let this new person in your life, just accept them for who they are and don't let go of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when would you say you started working on your EP, Dancing Without You? And how long did that take to put together?
So Dancing Without You began in early 2020, right before the pandemic. We had, at the time, in February, recorded the first single, which is called Crazy. It's actually a revised version of a song I wrote in 2015, and Sean Savage and I reproduced and recorded the track. And then when the pandemic happened, that's when I initially decided, okay, let's not just do this single, let's do a whole conceptual album. Because I wasn't sure before the pandemic if I was going to even record an album or an EP, because times have been changing so quickly and everything is single-based.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to keep it old school, and I love concept projects. So when I was bored during the pandemic, I'm like, why not? Let's just do this whole concept thing and let's just write individual singles that will fill up a whole EP. That's what ended up happening.
Yeah.
So it was a whole year's worth of just writing, working back and forth remotely with my producer, and then finalizing tracks and then going back to Toronto to record the vocals. I did that twice. And then working on the mixes and masters and then having them ready to just distribute every 6 to 8 weeks throughout 2021. So it was pretty intense 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I bet. Sounds busy. And what are the main themes throughout that EP?
So the EP, Dancing Without You, it's a very vulnerable project. I always say it's sort of like revealing my personal diary out into the world. It starts off very dramatic with the track 21 about a traumatic breakup, something that didn't work out really well at all, very heartbroken. But slowly as the EP progresses, the tracks get lighter and lighter, and they're all very empowering songs.
Cool. Awesome. And, what do you hope your listeners take away from that EP, or what do you hope they feel when they're listening to it?
That whole EP is meant for the listeners to just feel completely empowered. Every song is sort of like this empowerment anthem, if that makes any sense.
Cool.
So I just want them to just feel super brave and strong.
Mm-hmm. And how did it feel to finally release that project after working on it for so long?
I was really relieved. It was sort of like checking something off my bucket list. It was my dream to just make a record that was heavily 80s inspired. All the tracks from the EP Dancing Without You have heavy 80s sounds. We even ended up recording the vocals through a tape machine to get that vintage texture, that warmth tone.
Cool.
That sounds similar to songs from Blondie and Eurythmics and lots of music from the late 70s and 80s. And mm-hmm. it was just my dream, all-time dream, to recreate something like that, but make it more new and fresh, sort of like, what would I have been in the 80s, but it's not the 80s, so let's modernize it a bit. Mm-hmm. So that was the concept of the album. Plus, it touched on super dark and emotional concepts and topics. So it was sort of like, after releasing this EP, I literally left my past behind and I can finally move forward. So it was really cool.
Awesome. And what was the general reaction once you dropped it?
People loved it. They were very surprised too. And I think a lot of people really needed this sort of music during the pandemic. I noticed a lot of people were bored and online. Those are literally the two words I could think of, bored and online, and right. craving a source of entertainment and something to be inspired by, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was the perfect time to release all these songs. I really got to develop a new fan base online through these songs, which I'm very, very grateful. They're called The Rebels Online.
Oh, cool. And do you have a favorite single of yours?
Right now it's number one.
Cool.
I always feel like my newest single is always the one that's my favorite. I'm someone that doesn't like to stay in the past. My mind feels very progressive and I'm already thinking of like what I'm going to do for my next song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good headspace to be in. And, you know, you hope that you just keep improving over time. So I think that's a good sign.
I hope so.
Yeah. And how do you feel as though your style has changed since you first started?
I think vocally, I've matured and I found my voice, no pun intended. Sometimes when you're young and you're just starting to get into music, you take on inspirations from other artists that you grew up listening to, and sometimes you sort of unintentionally mimic their sound until you just sort of fall back properly into your own zone. So I feel like I'm now in my zone. Like, this is the Melodica voice. And in terms of songwriting, I have grown a lot. I do take into consideration a lot more of like what would the audience really want from me, instead of just the mentality of writing songs just for me. All mm-hmm. my songs are for me, but they're for other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way I write changed, and I think in a good way too.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you see your sound evolving in the future?
Right now, I'm heading into the new era of retro. I had this conversation a few weeks ago on a podcast too, where I find it very interesting that the early 2000s is currently what is retro. 80s is vintage. 80s mm-hmm. is so old school, but the early 2000s, that's 20 years ago, and that's the new retro. And I'm kind of feeling like I'm in that headspace where I'm taking a lot of inspiration from music from the late 90s and early 2000s again, while maintaining my own signature electronic melodica sound. But I'm heading into this new wave of retro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's the meaning behind your name?
Melodica has no real... To be quite honest, it has no real meaning.
Sure.
At the time, it was just a play on words with my full name. My real name is Melanie. And Jackman Jones, when we were a duo, he was the one that came up with the name. I remember he was just texting me like some ideas of a stage name. And he just texted, "What about Melodica? It's like a combination of Melanie and we're both French-Canadian. So le Mélodie, Mélodique." And so it was just like a play on words, and it just sounded so like theatrical and grand. And I'm like, that's going to be the name. That's the name.
Cool.
And I was on the bus when I saw him text me this. So
mm-hmm.
he came up with it. He gets all the royalties for our stage name.
Exactly. Right. And are there any other forms of art that you've really wanted to dip your toes into, but haven't yet?
I've actually want to get back into painting. I used to paint a lot. I used to do a lot of photography as well, but the one thing I think I would be really, really, really interested in diving into would be fashion design.
Cool. Cool. And what kind of clothing do you think you would make?
I would make like the most nostalgic but newest thing you would ever see. All at the same time. Kind of like, I just love combining the old with the new. It's always been something that I love. I can't explain it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like your music, you know, the retro plus electro pop, right?
Yeah, like when people see something that's so familiar, it just makes them feel good. It's that nostalgia that I think that I'm really like attracted to. But at the same time, I like to come up with something unique and fresh and have its own signature style. So mm-hmm. I think combining these two elements is super cool.
Mm-hmm. And what have you found to be the most difficult part of the creation process for you personally? It's a big question.
I think I judge myself too much. Mm. I'm very hard on myself. I always find that after recording a track, my takes are never good enough, and I end up always wanting to change the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Just being a perfectionist would be the biggest struggle, and I'm working on just kind of letting go. I gotta walk my talk, right? I write songs about letting go, so I should let go.
Yeah, for sure. And where would you like to see yourself improve the most?
I want to improve the most for performing live. I've actually been doing recently a lot of singing lessons. I'm learning new tips for performing live just to build that confidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at now.
Yeah. What kind of tips do you find to be the most helpful?
There's these cool tips, like when you're on stage, to not really look at the people, but find little things in the room that to stare at, like maybe the exit sign, or look at like the pole on the far left, and just like focus on like three or four things. And just imagine yourself just alone in your room and being super theatrical. Like it's acting. Like just pretend no one's there. Basically.
Right.
That's
right.
How I do it now.
Yeah. And where do you think you've made the most growth in your career?
I think I've made the most growth just in terms of the experience. Just writing music nonstop and releasing music nonstop, it's just all part of the journey, and it's all part of the growth. Just continue doing things.
Yeah. What's a major milestone in your career that you would love to hit soon? Like, what's the next big goal for you?
In a perfect world, I would really like to be signed to a small label so I could just, you know, not do everything. I find it very hard to do everything independently.
Sure.
And I feel like having a team to just help me figure out all of the other things in terms of marketing my music and booking myself shows in the cities where fans are listening to my music is like the ultimate goal right now. I'm getting ready to just nail it on stage to make my fans happy.
Yeah. Are there any labels that you have in mind?
I'm not quite sure yet. I'm still like in the browsing mode. This has been like recent now that this is kind of the headspace I'm in. So all to be announced.
Yeah.
Hopefully out there, someone who's listening to me and is interested in what I do could, you know, give me a call. Don't be scared.
There we go. Reach out to her if you guys are interested.
Yeah.
And would you like to eventually be able to make a living off of your art?
I would love to. It would be the ultimate dream.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Ultimate dream.
Yeah. And what kind of milestone or goalpost, if you hit it, would make you feel like you've made it?
I think going on tour.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just a small tour, if it's like a North America tour, that would make me feel like I've made it.
Yeah, totally. And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I hope in 5 years I'll be on tour.
Yeah.
Just everything we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where would you like to tour, ideally?
I would really actually love to go to South America. I have a lot of listeners, in particular in Brazil. Mm-hmm. I also have a lot of listeners now coming out of Europe, in many different countries of Europe. And recently, I'm actually getting a lot of traction in Japan, which is super exciting.
Cool. That would be super cool to go to.
Totally.
Yeah. Have you ever had fans, international fans, reach out to you about your music?
All the time. To be quite honest, I've get it more internationally than locally.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. I guess that's, you know, thanks to the internet, right?
I think so. I think it's definitely because of the internet. And I think just different parts of the world are influenced and interested in different music. And it just so happens that people from different countries love what I'm doing. One of my biggest fans that ended up turning into a friend is from Zimbabwe.
Cool.
And I also find in Africa, I have a lot of listeners.
Wow, cool. What's been the coolest experience while, you know, putting out music for you?
I think speaking of fans, one of the coolest experiences is just talking to all these people from across the world who are interested in my music, and I become friends with them, sort of like pen pals.
Yeah.
I truly cherish my fans, and they know this. They're called the Rebels. They have participated in a fan music video last year for Dancing Without You.
Wow.
And that was just so much fun. I just love involving my fans into part of my music journey, and that's the most fun.
Cool. Can we find that video on your YouTube channel?
Absolutely. It's called Dancing Without You, the EP titled single, and it's on YouTube.
Awesome. Everybody go check that out. And did you call your fans the Rebels, or did they name that themselves?
It was sort of like a mutual thing. I can't even remember how it started. I think I was just being a nerd and just calling myself a rebel just because I've been like, I do things that a lot of people don't do. I get out of my comfort zone a lot. And it's something that I also encourage other people to do. My biggest message is always just embracing individuality. And I always encourage people to just be yourself no matter what. And so this is how the Rebels sort of formed online, with the hashtag Rebels with a Z.
Yeah, super cool. What's been the best reaction or feedback that you've gotten from a listener?
Honestly, actually, just today, someone came across, because on Instagram, I'm running an ad for my new single, Number One.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got a new fan today. They had written under the post saying, oh my God, when this post came up in my feed, I was in tears because of like how beautiful the song is.
Aww.
And then they were DMing me and they were saying, I hope I didn't come out too strong. It's just your voice is so beautiful and this song resonated so much with me. And I'm not going to lie. That felt really nice that, you know, my music could just touch the hearts of someone else that's so far away.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's super fun. And what are your goals for 2022?
So for the rest of the year, I decided that Number One is going to be the last single for a while, because I've got a lot of demos that I need to finish. If I need to release new music, I got to finish these demos.
Sure.
So I'm going to be working on that. I'm also going to be continuing my singing lessons and working on like confidence boosting for performing live, and going to be booking some more shows, hopefully locally, for the rest of the summer. And just going to kind of go with the flow. But definitely for 2023, I'm going to be releasing a tsunami wave of new singles. So look out for that.
Exciting. And can we get a little hint as to what any of those will be about?
Oh, these are going to be just super fun. One of them, I won't give the title out. It's just super empowering. Again, it's another like empowerment anthem about just sort of stepping aside from the cyberbullies online and just taking ownership of who you are as a person and just standing strong. So that's what one of the songs is about. Another song is just a pure, silly, fun pop song. Think Candyland. Okay. I got very creative with the song for the first time. And it's about it's a love song, but in a more creative, animated, lyrical way.
Cool.
And for the first time, I'm actually going to be rapping in some songs.
Oh, cool. Okay.
My partner co-wrote one of the songs, mm-hmm. and is going to be teaching me how to rap a little breakdown, since he himself is a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just like a new phase in the Melodica journey, just continuing to genre bend and explore how far I could take my music.
Well, that's exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And what can we look forward to seeing from you in the near future?
Yeah, just stay tuned. I'm going to be posting online soon more footage from my last show. And I just want everyone to continue to stick around and keep spinning my newest single, Number One, and keep your eyes out for if I do a show near you, because that's the goal now.
Yeah. Well, there we go, everybody. You can find Melodica online under either Melodica or Melodica Music, and on all streaming services under Melodica. So thank you so much for joining me tonight. This is super fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, anytime. And we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Melodica. Digital Dreams is a song about living in a digital age and what that means for our collective mental health.
Hey guys, this is Melodica, and you're listening to Hot Shots On Air on Indie 101.5.
Indie 101.5, Hamilton's home for alternative.